focused on the disruption of the meeting. The disruption of the meeting.
Can I mention something about Sotomayor since we're like, you know, it's politics?
Well, we got down here about 11 o'clock to urge Senator McCaskill.
Yeah, no, people that are in combat and they need that cigarette when they
come. Dirty sex makes God send hurricanes.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show anywhere on the face of this earth that knows what it's talking about. The only news, talk, and entertainment show who has a host who very proudly says, and I don't really have that big of an ego, nor do I think I'm all that bright, who proudly says that he could probably kick the ass of anybody on the air doing a talk show today in a debate on anything. That's how pathetic things are out there. Very proudly says that were he a little bit younger and perhaps better looking, that he could have been another... never mind. All right.
You didn't say you could have been Walter Cronkite, but that never happened in a billion years.
Thanks a lot, bud. That's so... Wow. That's kind of a way of stating the obvious, man. Anyway, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, we have an out-of-material award. We haven't given one for a while, but sure enough, man, somebody is not going to, disappoint. And the Out of Material Award goes to the individual who seems to only have one thing to talk about morning, noon, and night, and twice on Sunday. The same thing. For instance, for the longest time, I think we were given Oberfuhrer that award, I mean, weekly, because he couldn't get off a bush, if you'll pardon the phrase. He couldn't get off bush, man. You talk about love. Man, he love you. Now, we give away the Out of Material Award this hour to David Schuster, who he, too, only has one thing to talk about. I think, you know what I think it is, David? Seriously, man, I know you're a nice guy, and you follow us on Twitter, and that's really, I'm so flattered. But the fact is this. I think you feel that your ass was out the door at NBC. I think you were just about out the door, and you said, I got to do something. I got to find some way to hang on. I'm going to have to get a little bit more controversial and a little more confrontational. What should I do? What can I do that's confrontational and controversial and won't piss off Olbermann so that some night while I'm sleeping, he comes to my house and in the words of the great Daniel Plainview, I'm going to come to you when you're sleeping and slit your throat. Aha, I know what it'll be. I'll just keep harping on Palin, man. She's hot. I want her. She could turn me straight. And then I will, talk about her until people want to puke through their nose and see how that works. Good job, man. So we'll have that coming up. Man makes another appearance at city council in KKK attire. This is day two of this, and it's an interesting story, and I thought we'd tell you what happened today. At the city council meeting in the city of Los Angeles, some cat showed up there yesterday in a Ku Klux Klan uniform. Now, the problem is the guy showed up in the Ku Klux Klan uniform, but he had black skin. And he was trying to make a statement about his free speech, something having to do with the freedom to express stuff. He shows up again. Now, let's take you back, first of all, to yesterday and how this whole thing went down. Guy shows up in a KKK hood, and he wants to speak at that part of every city council meeting called, the public session. The people can get up and they can ask questions and talk, people from the city. So this guy approaches the microphone to talk to the city council, and he's wearing this KKK outfit. Now, this gentleman's name is Mr. Hunt, a guy by the name of Hunt, as far as I can tell. And this chap walks up to the microphone, and his name's Michael Hunt, and he gets this response.
Mr. Hunt is now up. Mr. Hunt, you're going to have to move your hood.
We have to move.
Are you refusing to move your hood? Are you refusing to move your hood?
You got to move the hood.
Attorney.
Get your hood off.
Mr. Hunt, we can't hear you. Remove your hood.
No, this is part of my First Amendment privilege.
Well, you just did, though. You just took your hood off, see? So we tricked you into removing your hood, and so you have removed your hood. Now they have to go to the attorney because the guy walked up there. He wants to say something, but he's in a Ku Klux Klan uniform. He doesn't want to remove the hood, so they got to go to the city attorney. Is this legal, constitutional? Tell us, please, now, or you die.
Mr. City Attorney?
His get-up that he's wearing arguably has some First Amendment protection as symbolic speech, as distasteful and misguided as it is.
But
however, It's not an issue of anonymous speech because he's taken his hood off and on throughout the meeting.
Council members are leaving the room.
If his wearing that causes a disruption, then he could be told to remove it.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's told to remove it.
I told him to remove it.
The quorum.
Get it off.
But as of not, it's not a public.
The quorum has been lost. Thank
now,
you, Mr. Hunt. City,
her wearing those pants, if that's causing it, because you can tell her to remove those, and I take pants off. All right, so now you got the lawyer is confused, right? You hear him? Mr. City Attorney, go ahead. Go on, spit it out, will you?
With the deep dit.
So he says, okay, now wait. He can wear that. There was something with a hood going on and off, anonymous speech. However, he is now causing a disruption, so that is a violation of the rules. Now we get to the real problem, because people from the city council, the actual members, are getting up and leaving.
This is not an official meeting anymore. I want to state for the record, you do have the right to keep that on. I want to say, as a human being, I wish you wouldn't have it on, but that is your right to keep it on. We did lose quorum because council members left, so we do not have public comment. We do not have a meeting right now.
All right.
Mr. City Attorney, we are adjourned.
Well, we're not adjourned because the loss of quorum. You can't adjourn. So, well, you could adjourn for lack of a quorum.
Well, we have lost the quorum.
All right, we left.
He keeps throwing it back at because he doesn't know. Mr. City Attorney, we're adjourned. Well, we can't adjourn. We don't have a meeting, so we can adjourn because we don't have a quorum, but we can't adjourn. Well, are we out of here or aren't we? All right, so that's what you did, Mr. Hunt. That's what you did with your hood. Now, guess what? He comes back today. A protester dressed up in a Ku Klux Klan outfit made a third appearance. This is his third time at the L.A. City Council today in what has turned into a test for city officials about how far people can take their First Amendment rights in the city council chambers. Mr. Hunt is an African-American. He recently won a $260,000 settlement against the city challenging its vending ordinance in federal court as a violation of his rights. Instead of paying Hunt, though, the city has appealed the decision. So he claims the reason the city hasn't paid him is racially motivated, so he's wearing the KKK outfit in this way as a way of exercising his First Amendment rights to protest the city's decision not to pay him. Cut to today, L.A. City Council. This is the third time at bat for Mr. Michael Hunt in his hood.
Mr. President, I feel threatened by that gentleman there, and I would like him removed from this council. And I believe he threatens the other people in the audience as well.
Okay. If there's disruption, both from the public, as has been indicated.
It's not about disruption. I feel he is threatening.
Okay.
I do not want him in this room.
Thank you, Mr. Alarcon. If you will keep that off, you can stay here. But, sir, I'm speaking. But because you had caused a disruptive effect to the meeting before, and it is continuing disruption for folks.
No, it's not a disruption.
You have made, hold on. And a threat to others.
Yes, a threat.
A threat.
A threat.
We will ask you to keep that off.
Mr. President, as a minority, this man is representing an organization that has taken open positions against.
They have been criminally
convicted of attacks on minorities. I am not. It is not about being offended. This is about feeling threatened by that gentleman right there.
All right, okay, so that is City Councilman Richard Alarcon, who is a Hispanic, and he's telling Eric Garcetti, "No, it's not a disturbance. I feel threatened." I believe he's saying that as a way of trumping the disturbance aspect. So, you know, because they think that this cat in the robe keeps coming in with new arguments for him to stay. The disturbance thing may not make it, but if I feel threatened by that guy there, I feel threatened by him. Okay, valid. Valid. A guy's in a Ku Klux Klan uniform. Here is Councilman Bill Rosenthal saying that Hunt is now terrorizing the city council by wearing that Ku Klux Klan outfit. So it's not just a disturbance. He's not just threatened. It isn't just a matter of anonymous speech wearing the hood. No, now we've elevated all the way up to terrorized.
Mr. Rosenthal.
Just a point of order. In a conversation with our city attorney, he made it very clear to me, Newt Chutanich, that if they wear a mask of any kind in this facility here, we can consider it a terrorist threat potential.
Aha.
And that is a disruptive act.
Besides
what Mr. Alarcon is saying, which I totally agree with his position as well.
All right, so he agrees with Mr. Alarcon, and Mr. Alarcon feels threatened. He also calls it a disturbance, but there's one more thing. It's also a terrorist threat, and that, see, they're throwing a book at this guy, Michael Hunt, for wearing the Klan costume. So he's terrorized. The other guy is threatened. Mr. Garcetti feels it's certainly a disturbance. And so we're well past what we dealt with yesterday, which was just, is this a matter of anonymous speech? When the attorney was like, I did not do that. When that cat couldn't get out two words, you know, without the guy going,
well, come on, let's go. Yeah, or not. I'm going to leap.
All right. However, we've discovered an area, and Mr. Hunt, if you're listening tonight, and if he isn't, if there's somebody who knows Mr. Hunt, we've discovered an area where you are protected, man. You can wear that Klan costume. You can. You can. In order for Mr. Alacron to be terrorized by the, or threatened, or whatever you want to call it, by the Klan costume, he has to fear that there was a Klan member wearing it. The costume itself is not the issue. The costume represents garb that is worn by a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And if it was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, he was standing in that city council meeting, and you would feel terrorized, you would feel threatened, and you'd be disturbed, and you'd, you know, everything. But the cat wearing it is black. The guy wearing it is a black man. And a black man can't join the Ku Klux Klan. So instead, what you have is a guy in a Klan costume with black skin. Hence, he is not a member of the Klan. He has affected the Klan outfit as a piece of costume in order to make a free speech point.
What are you talking about, man? What, the guy, that guy wants to, he's going to get lynched.
He ain't going to get lynched.
Why not?
Because the cat wearing it is a black man.
Don't you tell me a black man can't be the Klan?
Well, you ought to know that.
How'd I know that?
Ever try to join?
Yeah, I did one time because they had a bowling league.
Well, did they let you join?
Let me bowl.
Get out of here, let you bowl. I'm telling you, man. See, and here's the whole thing. People are saying, well, look, if the man feels terrorized, he feels terrorized. I don't really believe that's the case. I think what they're saying is they're trying to come up with a legal reasons, some sort of legal foundation whereby they can keep this guy from speaking because they find it odious, this Klan costume, standing there in the middle of their city council meeting. So what can we say? What can we do? What's in the books that we can get this guy to dress like a human being if he wants to, you know, well, if we feel terrorized, if we feel this, if we feel that. Okay. Cool. Got it. Great. Bang. We hit him with it, and then they suddenly realize, wait a minute, this guy, none of this stuff works because he's a black guy, and he can't be in a Klan, so I can't feel threatened.
Man, I tell you what, you see a guy in a Klan costume, I don't care if he's black or white, man, he is dangerous. He's dangerous.
A black guy in a Klan costume.
Yeah, that brother's going to be nuts. You know that brother nuts.
Well.
Yeah, your reasoning doesn't hold up under scrutiny.
Oh, well, okay, Einstein. Thanks very much.
Well, it don't.
877-876-PHIL. Let me tell you what does hold up under scrutiny. And it's called MetaFast. That's right. You've been hearing us talking about the MetaFast diet here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. And the thing that has really helped me drop now 11 pounds, guys, 11 pounds going into my second month on the MetaFast diet is MetaFast. And I want you to find out about MetaFast at MetaFastPhil.com. MetaFastPhil.com. MetaFast is an amazing weight loss product. It's developed by a physician. It's been recommended by more than 15,000 doctors since 1980. There's a lot of people, in other words, who've taken advantage of MetaFast. And why is this? Because MetaFast provides you with low-fat protein and fiber meals. They're fortified with vitamins and nutrients. You lose pounds and inches without losing out on essential nutrition. The meals are absolutely delicious. I've been drinking their shakes. I've been having the soups. There's a cream of broccoli. I've been having the Maryland crab, the crab cakes, all kinds of delicious meals from MetaFast that you eat throughout the day, and then at night you have your lean and green meal, which is a little piece of steak, if you'd like, some vegetables, a salad. So you're eating nutritiously. You are eating so that you are satisfied. You're eating food that gives you the vitamins and the nutrients and contains the protein and the fiber and is low-fat and is good for you. It's going to help you shed all of those pounds. It's been helping me do exactly that and doing it in a way without pills, without any kind of weird-ass formulas, without any kind of weird chemicals, nothing, man. Just a straight, good diet provided by MetaFast. And I'll tell you, you can lose up to 20 pounds a month. Some people, up to 20 pounds a month they've lost on MetaFast. I've told you in a little more than a month, I've taken off 11 pounds. I want you to visit MetaFastPhil.com and find out more. Medifastphil.com. I'll spell it out for you. M-E-D-I-F-A-S-T, Phil, P-H-I-L, .com. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We'll get some phone numbers, but just on that L.A. City Council with the guy in the Klan costume, Dennis Zine, who's a member of the L.A. City Council, told a local TV station, he said that this cat showing up in that Klan costume, it might be a stunt on his part to sue the city over a violation of his First Amendment rights. See? Because this guy apparently won a judgment, and it has been appealed by the city. So this guy, this dude, this Michael Hunt, is at war with the city over over a lawsuit, and he shows up in a Klan costume. As I found out later, there is no law that keeps you from walking into a city council meeting wearing a Klan costume. None whatsoever. There's no law that says it's a disturbance by walking in with a Klan costume on. Now, they can say a disturbance is being created. The city council can say that and then shut the meeting down. But you get into these real iffy areas. And look, this is a guy playing games. The city council is playing their games. You and I wind up paying for it later on in the cost of litigation. There's somebody who said something very smart last week during the Sotomayor hearings. They said, you know, an activist judge, that's anybody that votes a way that you don't want them to vote. That's what you call an activist judge. They voted away you didn't want them to vote. That's the kind of chicken crap we're trying to shovel out of the barnyard here before 1 o'clock in the morning. 877-876-PHIL. Dave in Santa Monica, California. Dave, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight, man?
Hey, first of all, you're the man. I'm going to keep it that way, and that's all I got to say. But listen, on those jokes, I found them a little funny. You know, I'm African-American. A lot of African Americans seem to be sensitive about jokes about them, and you know from what we've been through. I'm younger.
Well, how about Michelle Obama? How about Michelle Obama appearing on the cover of National Geographic, but Palin belongs in Playboy?
Well, you know, sometimes people have their own way of telling jokes. Now, believe me, I don't agree with sometimes telling jokes, and if it's offensive to people and hurt their feelings, you know, it could be wrong. But in this context, the guy is wrong because he's a public official. And he sent it out to public officials, and it should be a better than that. But the average person, be it African-American, Hispanic, or white, at some time in their life, at some juncture in their life, they have made jokes. You know, they'll say that cracker or that hunky or some kind of racial joke behind closed doors. But this guy is trying to bring it above board. But let me tell you something. It is not... It's not the joke itself. It's the mess. It's the person that's sending the joke. You get me on that?
That's exactly my point, because I wanted to point something out to you. I got a Jew for a producer and a Mexican for an engineer, okay?
Right.
Now, we sit here during the breaks, and all we do is there's Jew and Mexican jokes and white guy jokes flying around. But we never concentrate on one or the other. In other words, it's not always about Jews, and it isn't always about Mexicans. This cat is sending crap out via email that is continually targeting how funny black people are. That's the thing that makes me a little uncomfortable with who he is. See,
I'm sorry.
You know, you tell me who he is. You're saying who he is. That tells me who this guy is.
Right. It shows with his inner feelings. If he's about what he wants to do, he wants to get a reaction from himself. You know, I consider myself, i.e. Mexican, Jewish, anything. I feel myself 100% full-blooded American. 8 years in the Marine Corps, severely injured, worked myself back up and working a job. But that's neither here nor there. I consider myself American. I just have black or African ancestry. You follow what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But these jokes...
Yeah, I hear you.
Black people, and I just got to say this, some black people use it as a crutch to point the finger like, all white people hate us. Let me tell you something, brother. On the real, that's not true. That's not
of course.
This guy is a hate monger, and he wants to get a reaction from the White House or somebody so he can, you know, build up or get a reality show or get on TV, whatever his point
is. man, that's a great reality show. Gary the Racist. And yeah, we follow him around town. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I respect your opinion because, man, I listen
to you, David.
Faithfully at work.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you, brother.
I appreciate it. I got to run, David. I thank you. Thank you very much for your service to our country, too. Phil Hendry's show will be coming right back. A reality show with the, you know, Michelle on the cover.
Phil Hendry.
Wow. And don't forget our website, www.philhendryshow.com. Every night we live stream the show on video. We also stream it on audio, and the audio is available on demand the next day. We are building up an archive, a brand new archive of the all-new Phil Hendry Show. And if you go to our website, you're also going to see an archive section there that has an unbelievably large section of archive shows from the last 16, 17 years. And that's not all. We've got plenty more shows to load in, and we're doing that every month. We have archived television programs that I've been on, archived video projects, a lot of things there, as well as an animated series that was done by Steve White, our animator, where we took audio from the show and literally animated it so you can see some of the characters from the show animated there. It's all there on our website, www.philhendryshow.com. Plus, as I mentioned, every night, watch the show, as well as listen to the show, live streaming. And you can listen to the show as well on any one of many affiliates across the country. Check out our affiliate page, and it'll tell you where you can see all that stuff. 877-876-PHIL. We've got a few minutes before we hit up our stories we didn't get to tonight. This is Wade. Wade is in Glendale, California. Wade, what's going on tonight, man? What do you want to say?
Hey, I'm actually a first-time listener. I just wanted to comment. I find it more ironic that more African-American people or black people are probably offended by this than the white people who should be offended. He should be able to wear whatever he wants. It's not like he's actually attacking anyone. As you said, he's not actually a Ku Klux Klan member. He's not doing anything wrong. It would be the same as if a soldier came back from a war and saw a bunch of war protesters. He felt threatened and then said, oh, they're terrorizing me, and asked them to remove their assembly. The scrutiny
there. Yeah, no, I hear you, man. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, it's a city council meeting, too, and there's a lot of weird asses that show up at city council meetings. So it ain't like they haven't seen it before, you know.
I mean, you could remove the homeless guy who decides to come in for some shelter because he smells bad. Draw the line somewhere, please.
Well, I would remove a homeless guy who came in for some shelter because he smells bad because he's not there on the business of the city. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a city council meeting.
But could one prove that?
If the cat says to me that he's sitting there because he wants to see what's happening because he's a concerned citizen, I guess fine. Now, if the smell begins to actually affect people, like the guy stinks, to be honest with you, I've been in places where somebody's body odor's been killing me. There ain't nothing I can do about it, you know, like sitting on airplanes, standing in an elevator. What are you going to do, call a cop? These are the inconveniences of life. If a guy walks in there, now I'm going to ask you this, Wade. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Dude, Wade, all right. If a guy walks in there and he is a known member of the Klan, known member, and he walks in with two other members of the Klan and sits down. Now, you have an organization which has been convicted in a variety of courts for fomenting violence. Now, of course, the Klan today is not the Klan of old. The Klan of old was an umbrella national organization. Today, you have a lot of different little clans, okay? But if you've got an organization that, say, has been convicted in a court of law of committing criminal acts, and you know it's a criminal organization, and now you have people in there wearing the uniform of this organization sitting in that city council meeting, I think you can draw the conclusion they're there to intimidate. And I think that's different than a guy wearing a costume.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I would.
Would you agree? Would you?
Definitely.
You would. What about a guy who's in the Hell's Angels and wears a German Wehrmacht helmet riding around on his motorcycle?
You got to look at the origin of Hell's Angels before you can truly scrutinize that.
No, no, I'm not talking about the Hell's Angels. I'm talking about him wearing a German World War II Waffen-SS helmet.
Well, that's just a little odd. I would ask him to remove it simply out of the respect of the others around him.
No, see, I wouldn't. Why would you? Because I wouldn't ask him to remove that any more than I'd ask that black guy to remove the black guy's not in a Klan, and the Hell's Angel ain't a Nazi. They're just wearing this as an affectation, you know.
Say the helmet again. I'm sorry. I think I'm not visualizing it correctly.
Never mind. I'm not even really explaining myself. But you know what? You made a good point. I appreciate your call, man. I got to run.
Yeah, you hung up on him because you didn't have an answer.
Yes, I have an answer, man. There's a difference between a real Klan guy and some cat wearing a Klan costume because it's Halloween, okay?
Yeah.
And there's a difference between a German Nazi soldier and a Hell's Angel who just happens to wear a German helmet riding around on his motorcycle.
But what are you saying? A Hell's Angel's in a costume?
Well, it's sort of. I mean, he's got to wear a helmet, right? So he decides to put on this helmet because it looks cool, because it's sort of a statement of individuality. In the case of this guy in a Klan costume, he's making a statement in terms of his free expression. He's a black man choosing to wear a Klan uniform. That's the way he wants to make his case, saying, I can say anything I want, even if it's wearing a Klan costume. Now, that's different from a Klan guy sitting there, especially a known member of the Ku Klux Klan sitting there, obviously there to intimidate. Unless you want to make the case that the guy's there and has every right, even though he's in the Klan, to sit there in his Klan robe and just kick back and check out the proceedings. I'm sorry, but I think there's a difference between those two, you know.
Well, I'm going to come and wear a Klan costume next week, see if you're on account of you get intimidated.
You wearing a Klan costume ain't going to intimidate me, man.
What about me?
You ain't going to intimidate me either.
What about a real Klan guy?
You go find me a real Klan guy, and then I'll tell you whether I'm intimidated or not. 877, what about a real Klan guy? 877-876-PHIL here on a world-famous Phil Henry show. You guys don't make any sense. That's the problem with you. We're going to go to another phone call here, and this is, see, we got Austin here listening to us in Lancaster, California. Austin, you're on a Phil Henry show. What's going on tonight?
Yeah, Phil, I'm listening. I'm trying to understand what you're saying, because you're talking about the intimidation factor, right?
I suppose in a way I am, yeah.
The reality of intimidation. And you were talking about that man who was telling jokes. All right, if this happened to me, and tell me if I have a right to feel that I've been that somebody's been racist on me.
Are you white?
Yes, I'm white, yeah.
Okay.
I do cabinetry work here in Lancaster, and we were working on a house. They had a couple of other contractors and a couple of the crews there, and there's a guy doing the roof. And one of the roofing guys comes down. Now, I brought with me, because my daughter left it in the car, and I thought that I'd bring it on a job site and just fool around with it. It's a thing called a Rubik's Cube. You ever heard of a Rubik's Cube?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I brought that on a job site, and this guy's working on the roof is a black guy that I know. His name's Casey, and comes down. And I said, hey, look at this, Casey. And I tried to make the Rubik's Cube, try to solve it, you know.
Yeah.
And it took me probably a minute. And I got close, but not all the way. Then this Casey, who's a black guy, okay?
Yeah.
He takes the Rubik's Cube and he figures it out in 20 seconds. And I said to him, is that a comment on me racially? See, and that's what I'm saying, that what I'm asking you.
Is that a comment on you what?
On me being on my race. You see, I'm white. And I couldn't figure the Rubik's Cube out. He's black, and he figured it out in 20 seconds.
Is it a comment on you racially?
Yeah, because everybody's standing around, a lot of my crew, because they're kind of like this one guy you were talking about who tells all the black jokes. They're not racist or anything, but they're always talking about, you know, black guys, these, and everything else, right? And now I couldn't figure out a Rubik's Cube, and this guy, Casey, smoked me, did it in 20 seconds.
No, it's not a comment on your race.
Well, what do you think it is, then?
It's obviously a comment on his aptitude figuring out Rubik's Cubes over yours.
But he's black.
So what?
Well, no, I know. I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to be smarter than me, but doesn't me being dumber than him, isn't that racist?
Racist on the part of who, man?
On him.
How's he being a racist if he just shows that he's smarter than you?
Because that is intended to make me feel inferior.
No, it's not, man. No, it's not.
Well, yeah, it is.
No, it's not. I mean, if you brought the Rubik's Cube with you, he didn't say, now I'm going to show how black people are better than white people. He said, I'm going to take this Rubik's Cube that you just offered me, and he figured it out in 20 seconds, and you weren't able to figure it out.
Yeah, but I told him, I said, you know, that's kind of racist. And he goes, well, and he agreed with me. He agreed.
What do you mean he agreed with you?
He said that I'm, you know, probably superior to you in terms of my race.
I don't buy that, man, at all. Do you tell me that really happened?
Well, he didn't say that exactly, but he did say, yeah, well, you know, I said, I guess I'm inferior. And
did you say, I guess I'm inferior, and he said, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, did you say I'm inferior because I'm white?
Well, that was understood.
Get out of here, that was understood.
I thought he had a really good point, and then you hung up on him.
Is that what I just did? Really?
Yeah.
Really? Thank you, bud. I didn't know that I hung up on... Tell me, because I forgot, what did I just do?
Well, you're screwing around with me now.
No. What did I just do? What did I just do?
You hung up on him.
Really? Thank you. I didn't know I just hung up on him, man. I wondered what happened to his voice. It was here, and then it went away.
Yeah, man. Are you an idiot or something? You know he hung up.
Yeah, I know he hung up.
Then you don't have to tell me. I know that I hung up.
No, did he hang up?
Who?
The guy you were talking to.
Bud, you're really close, man. You're really close to getting hurt seriously enough to go to a hospital for several weeks.
Well, that still doesn't prove anything.
Tell you what, Bud, if you want to feel better about life, go get a Rubik's Cube. And we'll see who can figure it out faster. How about that? All right. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have coming up next our stories we couldn't get to tonight. And then we're going to take a couple of days off, you know, maybe one, maybe two, maybe three, I don't know, next week. Because it is summertime, and we got to somehow get out of here for a few days. So we're going to do that. But not before we bid you adieu with our stories that we couldn't get to tonight. A reminder that the Phil Henry Show is found in a variety of places on the Internet. Like www.twitter.com/realphilhenry, Real Phil Henry, that's our Twitter page. Over at Facebook, we're at facebook.com/Phil Henry. And we got an interactive page. We ain't got no fan page. I mean, we do, but the Real Phil Henry page is our interactive page. And then, of course, our website, www.philhenryshow.com. Coming up next with the stories we couldn't get to here in the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. World famous Phil Henry Show.
About what?
All I want to know is about how, you know,
Walter Cronkite. Cronkite.
Yeah, man, Cronkite. But how come you talk a lot about it?
Yeah, why did you talk a lot about it?
I talked a lot. I told you guys at the beginning of the show, I talked about Walter Cronkite. I know you cats don't remember who he is.
No, I know who he is. I've seen him on a CBS special and everything.
Yeah, but why is he such a big deal?
Because to my generation, we saw him on the news every night. That was the way it was. And you guys don't remember him, and I understand that. We didn't do a lot of material on Cronkite, did we?
Well, except for the one guy that said crumb cake.
Yeah, that dumbass.
That dumbass. Well, that's why we're not really doing a whole lot. But, yeah, it's an amazing thing. You guys and people your age don't remember Walter Cronkite, and I understand that. But people my age, it's not really huge, but it's big. That it's like this cat was never going to die, man. He was always around. I mean, the guy was around before I was born, and he just kept on plugging away. So that's what it is.
Yeah, okay. But how come, you know...
Bud, I explained it. I don't want to keep going. Every time I explain something, you keep beating it into the ground. That's when I want to start swinging, okay?
No, you didn't explain anything. You just said his name wasn't Crumb Cake.
That should be the last thing I have to explain, whether his name's Crumb Cake or not.
Yeah, what are you, stupid man? I know the name ain't Crumb Cake. I know the man named Cronkite. I know a friend named Walter. I know the man, what do you call, do the news, right?
Yeah, he did a news show, but I'm not clear on it.
Well, you know what, man? You ain't clear on much, okay? I could explain what Walter Crumbcake did till the cows came home, and you still wouldn't get it.
Ha ha! Man, you got smoked there.
No, I ain't get smoked.
Smoke this, Jack, okay? I gotta get out of here. One of the things I ain't gonna miss are you two idiots. All right, on a world-famous Phil Henry show, the time for our stories we couldn't get to tonight. Buy a truck and get a free AK-47. That's right. In Butler, Montana, that's the deal. A Missouri truck dealer is offering new customers who buy a pickup truck in August. Mark Muller, owner of Max Motors in Butler, says he knows people will be bothered by the promotion. But not to worry, Muller is not handing out free guns. Instead, he'll give buyers a voucher to use at a gun store after they obtain a license to carry a concealed weapon. The AK-47 is an upgrade on a previous promotion in which Muller gave away vouchers for the price of a Caltech pistol. Woo! The retail value of an AK-47 is $450, but Muller says customers can spend their voucher on the gun of their choice. So, that's Butler, Montana, isn't it? Yeah, Butler. Mark Muller of Max Motors, baby. Check it out. In Rahway, New Jersey, police in central New Jersey say they arrested a man on burglary charges after he returned to the victim's house to apologize. Rahway police arrested 35-year-old Craig Fletcher of Elizabeth on Wednesday, shortly after the homeowners told them a man had just rung his doorbell, apologized for the break-in, and ran off on foot. The homeowner said he interrupted the June 29th burglary. He chased the burglar, who had stuffed three laptops and an Xbox game console, into a backpack. The intruder threw the bag down and got away. Fletcher was also charged with a second burglary in the same neighborhood. He was taken to the Union County Jail in lieu of $60,000 bail. Police did not know whether he had a lawyer. In Jonestown, Arkansas, Jonesboro, Arkansas, call it the last straw. A Jonesboro, Arkansas couple's disappointing drive-thru order has resulted in their arrest on weapons and drugs charges. Jonathan Hemsley lost his leg in a work-related accident. Tuesday night at a Jonesboro Wendy's, he lost his temper and he's facing a variety of charges. According to police, Hemsley and his wife Jessica became irate when their drive-through order was not in order. Mrs. Hemsley claims they were shorted some French fries and a straw. When she went inside to get it corrected, she says an employee called her a derogatory name. She admits she fired back at the black male employee with about the worst thing you can say to a black man. At that point, Mrs. Hemsley claims that employee followed her out of the building, cussing at her. That's when all parties agree. Jonathan Hemsley got out of the couple's truck, showing his .38-caliber pistol, and he never fired it. After pulling away, police arrested the couple a short time later. Boy, this is just, dumb in action. In their truck, officers found pills and cash, $12,000 in cash, and two cashier's checks worth $250,000 each. Officers also found components for making meth. Police report states Hemsley planned on taking the components to someone else's to make methamphetamine for him. He also called himself a meth addict. He's got a gun. His old lady's going in. She's causing a problem at McDonald's. He's pulling a piece. He's got meth in his car. But these guys are brain surgeons on parade. All right. In Darby, Pennsylvania, police said a woman defied a warning not to venture onto the second... Well, this is great. What dumbass are we going to be talking about here? In Darby, Pennsylvania, police said a woman defied a warning not to venture onto the second floor of a Philadelphia-area house because an alligator was kept there and uncovered an operating marijuana lab. She tipped police, who searched the house in Darby just west of Philadelphia. Police Chief Robert Smith said Wednesday the officers found heat lamps, fans, soil testing gauges, gardening chemicals, and plants that would yield a very high-end marijuana. Police seized a rifle, two handguns, and ammunition for a .30-caliber automatic weapon. The woman and her son, whose names weren't released, have been moved to safety. Authorities are searching for two people who lived at the house. Maybe it's the woman and her son. Have they thought about that? No. A suspected drunk driver in Bennington, Vermont, gave police an extra clue on Wednesday night. Police say John Campbell, age 59, of Bennington, Vermont, pulled up next to a state police cruiser at a Route 7 intersection. When the trooper looked over at Campbell's car, he noticed a three-quarter full glass of beer sitting on the trunk. The breath test later revealed Campbell had a blood alcohol content of 0.125. Look out, he was cited in court for drunk driving. Finally, in Duluth, Minnesota, get a load of this. This got a lot of comment today over at Facebook. And I do mean Facebook. Anyway, a Duluth, Minnesota man with a history of burglary to satisfy a self-professed sexual fetish for slashing large rubber exercise balls has been at it again. According to a complaint made public on Thursday, Christopher Neil Jerkness, his royal jerkness, is basically accused of breaking into the St. Mary's Duluth Clinic West, where he allegedly slashed exercise balls, apparently with a sharp knife. Jerkness is charged in St. Louis County District Court with second and third degree burglary in connection with the May 30th break-in. Police have been unable to locate Jerkness, and a warrant was issued for his arrest on Wednesday. Apparently, this cat gets his jollies by letting the air out of large exercise balls. This is a sexual fetish. He's pled guilty to this before. He admitted to using a knife to slash 72 exercise balls, nearly three incidents at the college, and ain't we got fun?
But the cat's getting his cookies.
Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Ralph Rodriguez.
God bless.
Phil Henry.
Your jerkness?